Welcome to
Overbooked and Opinionated,
your favorite best friend book club podcast
with Liz
and Pooh
and Gammy.
Nice one.
Give them the rating.
Alrighty, folks. We are a mature podcast. We are adults who say adult things about adult books. We talk about sexy time and we say bad words. And we do that, apparently. If you're not watching on YouTube, you probably should. Please be mindful of those who might be listening alongside you.
Well, now that that's over with, what are we talking about today, guys?
Oh, we yapping, guys.
We yapping? Yapping, yapping, yapping. What are we yapping about?
About Dragon Bows by Bones by Ines Johnson.
Fantastic start.
Yes. Love it.
I'm so excited for this one.
Yeah, me too, actually. I think we may have heard this one before, have we not?
I think we might have mentioned it. You know, heard it in a podcast.
Oh, which one?
Oh, there's this really cool one called Overbooked and Opinionated.
Oh my God, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, it's great.
I share it with like all of my friends.
Wow, that's crazy.
Because I'm a good supporter. If you haven't shared it with at least two friends yet, you will die at midnight.
Please,
I'm just kidding.
Please don't threaten our listeners. I'm sorry.
Share this now or you risk your love life being horrible.
I'm just going to take her. Okay. Yep, that's good. There we go. Okay.
You can't silence me. Okay, sorry.
I'm going to plug in your mic next.
Okay. My bad, guys. My bad. Just got a little carried away.
It's fine. It's fine. She just gets excited sometimes.
So Dragon Bones.
So Dragon Bones. You want to give us a synopsis before we start our spoiler-free review?
Okay, so Dragon Bones follows the main character, Nia, as she tries to go back to this ancient place in China to follow her memories, and she's with her best friend, Lauren.
That's cute.
Cute.
That sounds good.
I'd read it.
I think it sounds fun. All right, spoiler free review time. Who would like to go first?
Since this was a Gammy recommends, a wreck me Gammy, if you will, I feel like you should go either first or last. So you pick.
I go first.
Okay.
Okay. So I gave this book 5 stars, I think. I'm pretty sure I gave 5. What are you laughing at?
Nothing. Sorry.
Because of the way that you are.
Oh. Well, okay. So I gave it 5 stars. This book was really good for me. I actually met the author. We all did. Super cool. She signed it for me and everything. This was a good book. It had a really unique fantasy behind it. And I really liked the Immortals portion of it. I won't go into too much details yet. The characters were fun, engaging. The romance trope was pretty nice. I really liked it. And the story just progressed in a really fun way that I couldn't put the book down. I just kept going. I just kept reading it. And it was fun. It was a really cool progression. And we have a really badass female main character. We have a similarly badass best friend, which is so cool. And then we get this cute little love triangle that I was obsessed with. So for me, this was 5 stars. I have no notes, nothing that I would like improved. And there's actually more in the series, which I cannot wait to get my hands on.
Absolutely. Would you like to go next, Pooh?
Sure. I gave it 4 stars. I would have given it 5, but I felt like the beginning was a little slow for me. It felt like it took a while for not necessarily for stuff to happen because stuff happened, but for it to pull me in and be interested in what was going on. But it was a really good book.
Nice. Okay, so this was a 5-star read for me. I know that's pretty rare for me,
it's
but
fucking
listen.
Happening. 5 stars is crazy. I think that's the first one for the pod, isn't it?
It's the first one on the podcast.
Wow.
Yes. All right. So I loved this book. I will say that I was going through a slump of reading books that really just weren't for me right before I read this one. And I wasn't expecting much out of this one. It was a book that I picked up at Barnes & Noble after meeting the author. And I don't know why, I was just having a really bad slump. So I was another book that's fine. I picked it up and freaking loved it. I loved the Immortals aspect. I loved the memory loss and her trying to figure out who she was in her past and who all the people around her really are. I loved it. It was fantastic. And the ending fucking had me, dude.
Yes, agreed.
I finished this book right before I was on a flight coming home, and my boyfriend was just like, come on, we got to finish Ted Lasso. And I'm like, you need to not talk to me because I need to finish this book. It is so good.
I feel that so heavily.
Yeah.
I didn't have high expectations for the book because the back was, while it explained the book well, I was like, I don't really love Tomb Raiders and like Indiana Jones, but it surprised me in the best way. And I think because I went in with absolutely no expectations that I was just blown away and I loved it. It was such a great story for me to stumble upon.
Yeah, I loved it.
It was really good. This was really good. We definitely recommend this one. Mm-hmm. For sure. And if you want to find out why, finish the rest of the episode. Because now it's time for the spoiler section. Get the fuck out of here if you haven't read the book. Because there's going to be spoilers now.
Hey, if you haven't read it, this one is on Kindle Unlimited, folks.
Yes, the entire series is. So go read it.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
I was practicing. Spoiler time. You ready, boys?
You've been warned.
In 3, 2, 1.
I know.
We're not doing this again. We are not doing another iCarly bit. I swear to God. Anyway. Okay. So let's talk characters.
Yeah, characters. So, hello, Miss Nia Rivers.
Oh my God, I love her.
Love you.
She's so cool.
So, she's immortal, which, love that. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I haven't read many immortal books. I've seen many immortal movies, and I really have always loved that concept of immortality. Like, I love when it's explored, and this was good. You know what I mean? This was really good. She has this entire life that she's lived, and she's missing half of it.
More.
What?
More than half.
That's crazy. Like, that was insane. She is such a really cool character. I really enjoyed her from discovering herself, building her friendships, and really, like, being a badass professional woman on top of everything else. Like, I just thought that was really cool. Like, she's not just, like, this princess who's immortal and doesn't do anything. Like, she's this badass fighter who protects history, which is so cool.
Yeah,
really. I did find her really cool. I liked it
when you pitched this, because this book was pitched to us by you during Hear Me Out.
Yes, ma'am.
You told us specifically that she's a cool character who, like, focuses on herself. And after having read this now, and part of what you told us too, like, literally the second thing you said was, why choose? And I was like, oh, okay, so this is a romance. And while it is, and those are very important relationships to her, it felt like, even though there are these men in her life and, like, their relationships with her are important and, like, figuring out her history with them and all that good stuff was, like, part of who she is, it wasn't the entirety of who she is. And I feel like a lot of romantasy nowadays falls in the category of, like, these characters don't exist beyond each other.
Yeah.
And they, like, she felt like a whole complete person, even though she's missing so much of her, like, memories.
Agreed.
Yeah. That, yeah, the relationships weren't her defining thing. And I really, really enjoyed the difference of that.
Yeah.
Based on what I've been reading lately, at least.
Definitely. Who?
I don't know if I really have anything to add. You guys kind of covered everything. I liked all the little, like, background folklore stuff that she added.
Yes.
Like, I thought that was so cool.
Me too.
And I've never been crazy about, like, Indiana Jones or the Mummy or none of the stuff that was, like, mentioned that this book was like. But it was such a unique read because you never, like, see anything like this.
Yeah. I would agree. I'm almost, like, on the hunt for books that are similar to this because I really enjoyed this, which is, I think, going to make the rest of the series just my baby because I love this world that we're in. Yeah. Like, I've never been too interested in archaeology, but this was, like, really nice and I enjoyed it. Like, she cares about preserving history and making sure the truth is told, and she does that, like, at her own expense, which is insane. And so I just think that's a really interesting way to explore immortality, to protect history. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I think it was actually very cool because she's obviously, this is the spoiler section, she's not the only immortal in the book.
Yeah.
I think there were 12 of them, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Or at least there were. And they all have their own, like, views on what immortality means to them and, like, what they want out of their never-ending life. And I thought that was a really cool thing
to kind
of
explore. And they're also different, too.
Yeah.
They all have very different, distinct personalities, at least from what we've seen so far. We really are only introduced to three others, and then we hear about some of the other immortals, mm-hmm. and like at the end we visit two of the ones that were in love. And so like I think it has significant potential to like really be each immortal is so vastly different. And we see that between Nia and the two boys that she's like in this mm-hmm. little love triangle with. And let's talk about them a little bit. Okay, let's do that.
All right, guys, it's time for the question. Team Zane or Team Trace?
Trace, for sure.
Zane, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's not like Zane. He's the billionaire, right?
Stupid little fucking pacifist.
No, Trace is the billionaire.
So, fuck Zane. We don't like him.
Yeah. So, let me say, Trace had a lot of characteristics that I enjoyed. Being head over heels in love with her. Being a little bit, like, overprotective of her. And when I say, like, head over heels in love with her, I mean the, like, she's his muse.
That's Zane.
That's not the millionaire.
Yeah.
Zane is the one who calls her his muse. That was the one who, yeah, his goddess, his muse. His, yeah.
Let me put one thing on the fucking record, okay? I like the rich guy who has an attitude. That's Trace. The one. Yeah.
That's my Trace. Favorite,
yeah. Okay, so then, yes. So I'm talking about Zane right now then. And I enjoyed his, like, she's his muse. He paints her all the time. And, like, I loved that real heavy romance that they seem to have between the two. Not being able to, like, keep their hands off of each other once they're around each other. And, like, I did enjoy that. However, he as a whole fell a little flat for me. But there was actual depth to him, too. Because while I'm sitting here thinking, like, okay, so he's just in love with her. He actually has this, like, deeper side and this deeper, like, darkness behind him. And we don't find that out until later on. We think that he's like this great guy, like just obsessed with her. Okay. But then we find out that he's done some shit.
I was actually waiting for a lot worse from him.
Really?
Like, I thought he was going to 180 as a character.
I was expecting that
he was going to, like, he was going to be the, like, some type of bad guy by the end.
Yeah.
Well,
and I don't feel like he was, though. I think he went from perfect, you know, obsessed with her to morally gray by the end.
Yeah.
So I don't really think he ever flipped the way I thought he was going to flip.
Yeah.
Where Trace was like, from the beginning, he's the morally gray. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean you're destroying her dreams and the things that she's fighting for? You're like destroying these historical sites to build a mall.
Like, he's the guy building the malls.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay.
That's what I mean. He's like actively going against what Nia has sent her life work to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, but there's some tension here and I like it.
I think it shows really like the difference in their past. Like, he doesn't want to look back. He's very clearly heartbroken by what I feel like we never fully got an explanation for.
Not yet.
But Zane, on the other hand, you know, was like, she's always, you know, even when she falls out, he's like, I know she's going to come back. Mm-hmm. Whereas Trace is like, you know, we had what we had, but she's gone. And it's me who's heartbroken, not her, who doesn't remember.
Yes.
And I love that about him, that he was so real about it, that he was like, fuck you, because you left me.
You broke me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that. And then seeing him kind of like crumble in on himself a little bit when she's around again. And he's just like, I love her, but I need to protect myself. And that I thought was hot.
Mm-hmm.
Hot.
It's interesting. I feel like, I don't know. I'm honestly neither. I'm Team Lauren. I don't think they end up together, but I would love it if they did. I feel like their relationship feels the most genuine out of the three, to be honest. Yeah. But there's so much layered history that Nia doesn't remember. Nia doesn't remember. And like that the boys probably don't even fully remember that. I don't think we fully explored it. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I really loved Zane. But then once they actually like were physically together in the book, the way that he talks to her, like he doesn't talk to her like she's a woman that he loves. He talks to her like she's, I don't want to say an object, but like an idol or like a goddess that he worships. That's which fair. Is an interesting concept, but I don't know if that would work for me. Like,
yeah, I didn't like Zane throughout the whole thing. And I really didn't like him by the end, because it was just, even when they're together, it's like everything he wants from her even if it is to do with art, is so sexual. And he literally, out of his own mouth, says, we don't even know everything about each other. We don't tell each other the bad. That's so true. You're obsessed with this woman for how she looks, not who she is. Mm-hmm. Because you, if you don't know the bad, you don't know her.
That's true. She did the first thing that Nia remembers is, like, their first interaction that they remember was him asking to paint her.
Yeah.
Because she was so beautiful.
And it was I feel like I didn't get a love vibe from him with her. It was a lust. And her, it was more of a codependence. Mm. I don't want to be alone. Like, my brain is forgetting all of these pieces of me, but you feel familiar.
Yeah.
And I don't want to let that go.
I didn't think about it in that sense. And it's really interesting that you say that, because now I feel like I'm really thinking about it now. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like, yeah, maybe. Maybe. I didn't, like, I got lust, but I also just got pure, like, obsession from him.
Yes.
And that, I enjoy that. Like, I enjoy that trope. And like, if you're not going to give me enemies to lovers, then give me obsessed or die.
See, you know? I'm okay with obsession, but I still need to feel like a person.
Yeah.
And that's where I think that's what
not bothers an object. Me about
it. Yeah.
I don't mind the obsession. I mind that the obsession is not with her character, but the way she looks.
But I feel like there's something to that we don't really.
Probably.
There's like some history. There's something going on. I want to know. Maybe that's his way of protecting himself, is not thinking of her as a person that's capable of loving him. It's
because she keeps forgetting him. That's, you know. Yeah. Ooh. Even as many times as being broken up, they end up back together.
Yeah. Right. That's really interesting.
And like, I mean, they're immortal. So how long is she going without seeing him and like being around him? Like, is he just yearning for her for 30 years? You know what I mean? Like, that's a long fucking time. So yeah, maybe that is like a defense mechanism, and he knows he's not going to have her forever. So he just wants to enjoy what he does have. Yeah. And I will say that she is constantly changing. Like, these people, these two men have loved her for who she was. And it seems like that's not who she is anymore. So yeah, they might not know who she is. She doesn't even really know who she is. So if she's not willing to like put herself out there and open up to these people, I mean, she's not even doing that to herself. She still doesn't even know what she doesn't know about herself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting. And this is like a really interesting conversation, because there is so many layers to the relationships in this book. Even with Lauren, like, she doesn't fucking like her in the beginning.
Yeah. Can we talk about Lauren more? Because I'm obsessed
with
her.
She is my favorite. I don't see the relationship thing, not for them two. I didn't get anything past a friend vibe for them two. But she's my favorite character in the whole book.
She's so interesting.
Yeah.
She's so unapologetically her. And I thought she was
gonna end up like a bad person. You know what I mean? Like, flipped in something.
Yes, yes, yes.
It was hinted at the end that she kind of was. But then it was flipped around that it was like, I didn't know. He just told me to get you here. Like, I didn't know that's what it was for. Mm-hmm. But it, like, she seemed like it, because it was like, who the fuck just follows this random ass girl who's talking backwards and saying all kind of crazy shit? The nail salon scene, she was talking about eavesdropping on their phone call.
Yeah.
And if you listen to her and Zane's conversation at the time, she kind of already talked about being immortal.
I don't remember the specifics enough to...
Like it,
but that's interesting.
I remember her talking like something about the time period of them being together or something. Like, she brings up something that, because I remember, like, I think Lauren made like a passing comment, and then they had her and Zane talked, and she had made a comment to Zane, and they were going back and forth about something. And I'm just like, if I was Lauren, I'd be like, hold up, bitch, the what dots ain't connecting right here. What is going on? Yeah. This is not English. Like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but she was my favorite. She was just like, you know, so like, I've been through everything. You guys have tore my family down. So now fuck it. I'm going to be who I want to be.
She was very persistent, very dedicated, very like, I want to carry out my father's work and I need to prove him right. And you motherfuckers know that he was right. So you're going to fucking help me. And that, I love that.
Yeah.
Like, they almost felt like forced proximity. Like,
Lauren and Nia.
Yes. Like, they were forced proximity, because there was no fucking way Lauren was going to let her say no. Mm-hmm. And she was good. Like, she was a good character.
So I also adored her. But I actually never really thought she was the bad guy. I never got that vibe. And I think it has to do with how, like, frank she was about absolutely everything about her. Like, one of my favorite thing about you guys is both that you're just so you. Like, you guys are both so unapologetically yourselves, no matter who you're around, no matter what you're doing, like you are just who you are. And I think that applies to Lauren in a really interesting
She's
way
so
too.
Cute.
Like the whole time.
She's so cute.
I would just want to kiss you too.
And we're girls.
And they were filming.
That was a gay.
That was a gay. That's a gay. Happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride.
But like the whole time she's talking to Nia, she's not hiding what she's actually after. Like she's, yeah, I fucking fake art and you would never know the difference because I'm so fucking good at it. Even though she knows what Nia does, like she's a fucking archaeologist and she treats sites and like isn't worried about making sure that history is preserved.
I feel like there was just so many like strange things that like I feel like Lauren, you know what I mean? Like you should have noticed and connected.
Yeah.
That like, it's just like, why would you hang out for a bit at the same time?
Ah.
I feel like if she started to feel that like camaraderie really fast with Nia, it makes sense because she had nobody after her dad was gone.
Yeah. Well, neither
she
of them
had
did.
Nobody.
Right.
And she would like, you can tell she's really bad at relationships because, and not, like just in general, because she talks about like the old boyfriends and she's just like,
right.
What do you mean like exclusive? Like I'm not doing
I
that.
I loved that
I'm
monogamy comment
that.
She made.
Yes. Yeah.
When she comments, she's like, Zane's hot. I'm not going to take him from you. I understand girls don't really like that. And Nia's like, no, they don't, Lauren. And she's like, okay. That's
fine.
That's weird. But like, okay, I won't take him.
I like, I also, though, I agree with you. I thought that she was in on the whole sabotage and the thing that was going on with the dig site in the first place. I thought she was in on that. And shame on me. I should have never doubted Lauren. I shouldn't have done it. But I was just like ready for her to be a bad guy. And so just because I think the author did a really good job of setting that up in the beginning where Nia was very apprehensive of this person and was like, I don't know. And then like very mistrusting of her in the beginning. So I felt like that translated to me that I was like, okay, we're not going to trust her.
Yeah.
I got you, Nia. Yeah.
That's
like,
fair.
We're not going to trust her.
Yeah.
That's fine. But then I was wrong.
Yeah, that's valid. I think that was interesting. I really, really loved watching this character who very clearly has not, like, she doesn't have friendship in her life because she even says she used to have friends and it didn't work out well because everyone dies around her. She's an immortal. So the only person being around her is Zane. Like watching her almost be forced into like a healthy female friendship was very, very fun. I enjoyed that. And I'm really excited to see where their friendship goes too in the next couple of books.
Would have to agree.
Yeah.
Are there any other characters that we're missing? How about the bad guys?
Yeah, we should talk about, I don't even remember. Is you?
Maybe.
I think it was you. XU.
Yeah.
The family being in on it. So, like, I will admit, in the beginning, I was like, okay, that's a little weird that there's, like, ninjas that are just out to get her. And, like, no one's talking about it.
I also thought it was strange. But where it went, I'm not mad at it. I was like, why are there ninjas in my archaeology book? But like, then it happened. And fine. I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Yes. That didn't bother me so much as, like, when he's like, these are all my sons. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what are you talking about?
Remember, they had parts of them that were immortal and then like helped them live longer. So I didn't think that was weird at all. I thought it like they were all just his descendants. And so like
it was weird when you first read it. Until you get to the context of the ending where they explained that they were literally consuming the blood and bone of immortals, and that's why they had like enhanced strength and longer lives and like, of course he would have a shit ton of descendants because he's been alive for a really fucking long time. Yeah. But like on first reading, I was like, damn, this man gets around.
I will be honest. I just thought he had a shit ton of kids. And I was just like, okay.
Like, rock on with your bad self.
Yeah, literally. Like, okay.
Yeah, because you figure you can't, like immortals can't have kids.
Can they?
She said they can't because they don't get periods and they can't get pregnant.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
She says it. So it's just like, were you fucking a different girl every time? Was this,
I mean, yeah.
You don't know. Going on?
Or like, did we not get enough of the lore of the people who turn immortal from the immortals? And maybe you guys don't have the same side effects. And she kind of brushed on that. She's like, how she wanted to ask him so many questions about like what it's like for them.
Yeah.
But then you never get answers. And I'm like, now these fucking questions are in my head.
Yeah.
And it pissed me off.
I'm hoping we'll get some answers in the later books.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very interesting. You know who I actually want to talk about before we move on from characters? I want to talk about Vow and Epsilon.
Aww.
Even though we didn't actually meet them, we only got told about them. I think their relationship was so tragically beautiful.
Oh my God.
I thought there was going to be more from Vow. The way they kept explaining her looking like her, I thought we were going to find like some crazy connect between the two of them.
Yeah, which we might still, but
maybe
their love story was heartbreaking. So, and like, the Immortals amazing. In the story, it kind of follows, like I said, Hitchcock. Anybody yeah. who's seen it, when the Immortals are around each other too long, they begin to weaken. And then, you know, it takes longer for them to recover. And they fall ill to sickness and, like, all of these things. So
Nia calls it an allergy.
Yeah. So they decided, to hell with being immortal if I can't have my person. And I was just like, oh, my God, I can't. And then they decide that they're going to, like, live off peacefully and die. Like, I think they've made peace.
Well, they didn't decide to die.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, I think
they were
made,
ready to, yeah.
They made peace with the fact that they were going to die.
Yeah, if it meant they got the time
something
together.
Something that, like, you know, wouldn't have normally yeah. taken them out. So they decided that, and then they make home, and they make peace, and then these crazy yeah. motherfuckers come and kill them. And
I don't know if we necessarily know that they did decide they were ready to die. They definitely spend enough time around each other, like, intentionally to become weak
I
and human-like.
She, yeah, I think she kind of talks about how, like, they were ready to accept the consequences.
Yeah.
I don't yeah. remember.
Which I'm not to, saying, like...
She says, like, they were like, ready to spend the time together and turn human okay. if that's what it meant.
Okay,
to be
I don't
together.
Remember that, but yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
They're just, like, accepting, like, yeah. if I have my person, then...
That's... I was so obsessed
also,
with that. I thought that was so beautiful.
Immortals. What the fuck was her name? The one that started with an A? And they kind
was of, it Aleph or Alpha? I don't remember. I it was something referring to the number one because she's the oldest one, but I can't remember her name.
I fucking loved her.
Yeah.
I fucking
bitch.
Loved her.
Yeah.
And she was only in there so brief, and I was like, what are you doing?
She was
she's
crazy,
awesome.
Though. She was crazy.
Which is what I loved about her.
Yeah.
I don't. Like, I loved her.
Loving her is crazy.
Her little.
She's
I
fucking
loved her.
Weird in the coolest weird way possible. Fuck. I think she's a cool and very interesting character. I wouldn't say I loved
you know
her.
Who, like, when,
she fucking
you ever
dissected
watched,
a mole. Moles
you ever
are
watched,
cute.
Like, Clash, I think it's what? Clash of the Titans.
Yes, I love Clash
and
of the Titans.
And he goes to visit cute. The the three witches with the eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking
oh,
about?
Oh, that's what it reminded
that's
you of.
That's what she reminded
yes.
me of.
Yes.
We're
like
talking
all
about
of
different
that,
Clash of the Titans. Yeah.
All of that, like, older stuff, but. Was it? I swear it was in that
like
one.
The fate.
You know the
yeah,
Hercules and the
yeah,
fates,
Greek mythology.
That's
the fates
what I
with one
of
eye.
With her.
Yeah.
Like always some crazy ass like yeah. elusive like comment that leaves you thinking. And
you're
it,
like, Grandma, like, I just want to have breakfast. And she's like, you will take this like life altering
yes.
information.
And then like the decision to
you.
Live in like convents.
Yeah.
I was like,
why?
What?
I have questions.
You have eternal life and that's what you chose to do?
Yeah.
Was, I just wanted more yep. for I, don't know, I wanted to was, see her more. I thought
I
she was so cool.
Hope we will.
I thought
she was
so
interesting.
Cool.
I'm sure she'll pop back up.
Yeah, her being obsessed with death is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she could just spend time around the other immortals, but she doesn't.
Yeah. I think she's more obsessed with the concept and wants to know what happens.
Yeah.
Rather than wanting to die herself.
Which I get, because even if she did want to die and she could stay around the other immortals, you have to get one that would agree to be around you long enough mm-hmm. for that.
Yeah.
Or you'd spend your time hunting them. And as we've seen from Nia, after like a day or two separated, they're almost completely healed.
Right.
Which also, I knew something was up with Zhu or whatever his name was, because every time she got around him, she felt sick.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I
no?
thought it was Trace that was doing that and not... Him.
See, she spoke about it every time he was around, mm-hmm. and I didn't connect it with the ninjas, but I did with him, and I thought he was going to be, like, another immortal.
Mm.
See, I'm actually the opposite. I noticed it because the first time she gets attacked is in DC still,
yeah.
and she's attacked by these ninjas, and she's like, fuck, they can actually, like, hurt me. Like, they actually weaken me nearby. Like, there's something more to these ninjas than, like, just being
and I think that was
strong
so,
humans.
It was so smart of her, though, to put that right in the beginning.
Very
because
clever.
Then as you get throughout, every other time she's around yeah. them, she's been around another immortal. So you don't connect
yes.
the dots because
yeah.
you see it in the
me.
Very beginning and then it's just kind mm-hmm. of gone.
I
me.
Actually loved where that was. And we're starting to get away from characters. We'll yeah. be done with this after this. But I loved the ninja fight being so early on because you're reading and you're like, oh, okay. So you're getting a sense of what her life is like what she does on the average day. And all of a sudden she's being attacked by fucking ninjas. And you're like, hang on, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
It made me turn the pages. It was very interesting.
I was like,
was
wait,
cool.
what? What
I was
is
like,
she?
Hang on, huh?
What? Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
What's next?
Atmosphere.
I liked it. So I think the entire world is pretty cool. It's taking place in like our time,
mm-hmm.
but also they bring in so much history, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
And it's our time an our world, but with immortals. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm about it.
Yeah.
I'm about it.
Is this your like first contemporary fantasy adventure type book?
Yeah, I guess you can say.
What'd you think? Good vibes?
Good vibes. Great good vibes.
I'm a big fan of books that take like, whether it be our own world as it is or like something that already exists and just like twisting a couple facets of it to fit whatever narrative or whatever story they're trying to tell. I think that's so fun. And I loved the idea that it's our world, but there's shit happening underneath the surface that we don't understand, which I'm sure is real, but whatever. We're not becoming conspiracy theory
conspiracy
podcast.
No,
conspiracy. I loved the idea that immortals walk among us and like real ninjas are a thing. And it was just cool. I just liked it. It was good vibes. Good vibes throughout.
It was good. She's like, oh, you caught me. I thought it was,
you know what? My mind oddly keeps coming back to that the Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum movie that came out.
I didn't see it, but I do know the one you're talking about. They were like actors. Yeah.
And that's what I thought. She was an author.
She was an author, and he was like the cover model.
And it was like exactly like this, like Val and I keep forgetting
Epsilon.
Epsilon. Like their love story, it like there was something like that in there. And it was just like, that is how I kept picturing the scene of like the jungle, like where they were in that movie.
That's great.
But I don't know. I loved it. It felt like so many things that she took and put together, but did it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like so many different romance tropes. And then like all of the different places from city to jungle to like, it was so cool.
I definitely enjoyed it.
Alrighty, kids, let's go to writing style.
This was not my first indie author, but one of my favorite indie authors now. Mm-hmm. Like, this was great. And I usually don't go into, this may be mean, but I usually don't go into indie books thinking, like, this is going to be the greatest piece of literature I've ever read in my life. But this one, I think because I went in with no expectations, just really left me so surprised. I enjoyed the writing. I especially enjoyed like the smut writing, which was,
oh my God, we'll get to it, but I thought that
she handled the smut. She handled like the writing in the book was really good. Mm-hmm. And I really don't have any gripes, honestly.
Yeah.
Poop?
No, I don't think I have any complaints about it.
Yeah. So I think I've said before on this podcast that writing style for me, like if it's good, it's fine. And it just doesn't stand up to me. Like, if it's bad, it pulls me out of the story and ruins it for me. It's pretty rare that somebody's writing style, like, stands out to me in a positive way. And this actually did.
Yeah.
Like, the language that she used for specific things, like, the way that she described her sex scenes and, like, the way that she, like, purposefully used words to describe things. And, like, I don't know why. It read very beautifully to me. Like, it was awesome. I was reading this like, holy shit, that's a brilliant way to phrase this. Like, I feel like I'm somehow reading artwork, and reading is art, but like writing is art, but like, I don't know why, it just really stood out to me in a very positive way. I really, really enjoyed the way that
it too. Yeah, I would have to agree with you. Yeah, I'd have to agree. It was really good. And I think this book made me want to go into some of her other pieces.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We might actually review them on the pod.
Yeah. Check we, in. We'll have to talk about her big fantasy world that she grew up with all those other authors, because that looks so cool.
I really enjoyed the writing in this book. I thought it was very interesting. It was very fun. It was very engaging. Like, I didn't want to put the book down. And mm-hmm. I was turning the page. Mm-hmm. I was ready.
Good. Alrighty. Let's talk intrigue.
Intrigue.
I'm sorry, I skipped plot. Let's talk plot.
Plot.
I forgot how to spell.
Go ahead.
All right. The plot was really, really interesting. I think it might have, once or twice, like I never didn't want to turn the page. Once or twice, I was like, okay, I need something to happen. But I overall loved this plot. I thought it was really, really cool. I feel like I wish there were a few little more breadcrumbs dropped in earlier on, but that is literally my only gripe with this book at all. Also, I wish it was longer. That's my other gripe. That's because fair. I wanted to learn more about some of the things that were going on. But
to be fair, like, we do have other books. We haven't read them yet. So like, we could get a lot more in them, and we do have to pick them up. But
The plot was fucking cool.
The plot was cool. It was
Yeah, the recurring nightmare.
Fun. Yeah.
Driving it. Yes. And like her avoiding going back to China for like whatever was scaring her and that being connected to what was actually going on. I loved like slowly unraveling more and more about the history of the Lin Kuei and the people, the Ganji people, and like finding out how she was connected. The whole time I was like, she's the River Queen, because she was very clearly plotting it out that way.
Yes.
And then you start to slowly hear like Vow and her lookalike and like all these paintings that could be her are actually not. I thought that was so fucking cool. Mm-hmm. So like when we got to that point where I was like, wait, it's not her. It's not her. Her name is literally fucking Nia Rivers, like River Queen. Yes, I'm like, it's fucking her. Oh my God. It was so, so good.
I was literally the entire time like, she's the River Queen. Got it. Mm-hmm. And then when she pulled that rug out from under us, I was like, shit. I saw, like, I knew these signs were there and I still fucking missed it. Yeah. That's not like me.
No,
that's really
no,
not
me
like me.
And yeah.
It got me.
Mm-hmm.
We all just like, stare at Pooh. Uh-huh. Like, cool.
Is good. Plot good.
Plot good. Like.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
I don't like, I didn't have any complaints. There were some things that I wanted to see more of. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, me and my romance obsession. Her and Trace, I feel like, while I got that she didn't remember anything, I felt like there should have been more scenes between the two of them.
Wanted more.
Like, I also, like, I understand there's more books, like the end, how she was like, tell me about us. And he, like, I think that she could have did that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And that the time, this all goes back to, I do think that book should have been longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that this was just that journey, but like the character, you know what I mean? Like, I wanted so much more out of the characters in it.
You know what I would have really enjoyed?
I wish there was more time for it.
Yeah.
I think I would have enjoyed some from the men's point of view.
Ooh, interesting.
To see, like, I would like to see Trace is suffering a little bit more.
See, while I would like that now having read the book, I feel like with characters that remember things that your protagonist doesn't, you can't, like, that would be like reading Zayden's POV chapters before you've read Fourth Wing, because like you're trapped into this protagonist's POV and that's what makes the story so intriguing, because you don't, you know what she knows and the mystery wouldn't be as mysterious like if you knew their whole backstory. So I get it, and it would be interesting, but I feel like I need to read the series first before I dive into somebody else's perspective, because I want to know what Nia knows.
Also, though, I'm thinking, like, it's devastating to me to think of someone that I'm so in love with that I just don't remember and that have these amazing memories with me, and I have no recollection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I think that would hit me so hard if I'm reading his perspective and I'm like, oh my God, like, he loves her. She loves him, and she doesn't even fucking know. That would be devastating for me.
And that's why I wish that the whole, like, tell me about us would have been earlier. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I felt like there could have been more to that, and there should have been more to that.
Like, one of my favorite movies is 50 First Dates, and
yes,
I really love that fucking movie. But really, that romance that they have going on, where he has to wake up every day and like convince her to fall in love with him all over again, is just, I love that. And two, it just must be so painful for him to be like, I love this woman and I know she loves me, but she doesn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Ugh, devastating, devastating. So I think that would have been an interesting element, but I do see what you guys are saying with it being more impactful this way.
Yeah,
I get it.
I would definitely be down to read some different POV chapters after I finish the series.
You know what else I wanted more out of too? This stupid fucking painting in the beginning that is, see, you don't even know what I'm talking about. She, like, when her and when Lauren was trying to convince her to go, and somebody's trying to steal a painting from the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
It's a painting from the Smithsonian.
Yes.
Like, what is it?
Yeah.
You could have made that so important.
They
and it
stop
felt like,
and then it's just nothing. Yeah.
It was just like her escape route. And I'm like, that.
Yeah, I get that. But I thought it was just like a cool way to show that, like, despite Lauren being set up as like a criminal who fakes art and like does all these things that Nia says are bad, like, she's actually a good person. She does respect like the sanctity of history and art.
Which I feel like that was I don't feel like I questioned that very much, you know?
Oh, I did. I think she was set up like, she didn't give a shit. She's just out here to like get her father's name out of the mud, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I never really questioned like the way she felt towards how important everything was. Like, I just feel like I don't know. Like, that didn't hit for me, but the, like, wanting more breadcrumbs in the beginning, I feel like that painting was a really good opportunity. You know Fair. What I mean?
That's true. That could have been something, like, more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alrighty. Now let's talk intrigue, because I've learned how to spell.
Yay! Intrigue. The entire book just had me flipping.
Yeah.
And I was ready. The story was very interesting. And I think the intrigue was there regarding everything, like the epic trek that they're on, her returning to, you know, this place that she's sworn off and has no recollection why. Mm-hmm. That the entire thing, every dynamic within the book was intriguing. Her friendships, her relationship, this feud that she has with this beautiful rich man. The adventure she's going on with her friend. The even, like, Lauren's family was intriguing. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Lauren's backstory was intriguing. Like, the entire book had mounds of intrigue. And I really enjoyed it.
I agree. Oh,
God. So, when it comes to intrigue for me, the big question, I don't know why this is where my brain goes, but the big question is always, like, is this a book that I can sit here and make theories upon theories upon? And I think that's why I love the Empyrean series so much. I feel like I could sit down for hours and just yap with you two about, like, theories for what's going to happen throughout the rest of the book and, like, what's actually happening in this world and, like, what's going on with the immortals. And for me, that says, like, hell yeah, this book was intriguing. It makes me want to read to learn more. And I think, like, I just
especially because we knew there was, you know, she says there was 12.
Yeah.
But we don't hear about all 12.
Yep.
And you find out, you know, the two are dead and they're drinking dragon bones. But it's like, what if other people now know that?
Yeah.
So how many immortals are there really?
Else? Supernatural?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, there was a lot of. Yeah.
And there's, I was left, like, when I finished the book, I was left with questions, but not like, oh my fucking God, like, this didn't go anywhere and I have
not
so many
an angry
questions.
Question.
It was like, oh my God, but wait a second.
Yeah.
What and the I think fuck? That was because we know there's more. We knew it was going to be a series. And we weren't left with questions about the adventure, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
This book was specifically about the one adventure, and that was wrapped neatly. I don't feel like we were left with questions, or at least I was left with questions about, like, how them immortals worked. Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily the story. We got the full story.
I feel
and
like
it's more of characters and their history that we're left with wondering about.
I feel like this just... Big shout out to Inez Johnson, because this shows she has a screenwriting history, and this felt like a very, very well crafted, I don't want to say episode, like season of a television show. Like, there's still a crazy overarching plot for the rest of the multiple seasons. But the one book, the one season, had a really good flow and a story of its own, and it ended without leaving you unsatisfied, but still wanting to know more. And I think that really showed, like, her writing skill.
That was a really interesting callback that you just did. That was really cool. Yes.
Here all week, folks.
Yes, yes, yes. I
agree.
Every Thursday. Oh, my God. Yes. My bitches are so smart.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, shit.
All right, kids. Let's talk logic.
Okay. I think everything that happened made sense for me. In the beginning, the memory loss was a little bit, like, like, how logical is this? But I will say she has some trauma and she's suppressing some of her memory. And you know what? She might just fucking forget. She's immortal. So that was, like, the only thing that kind of, like, stood out for me logic wise. But I think I understand more now.
I disagree with you.
Really?
I actually thought that forgetting, like, because they essentially function as humans who never get sick and don't have the minor inconveniences we do. Right. And, like, think of what you can remember, like all of your memories that you have available to you right now. Do you remember the womb? Do you remember everything from when you were a child?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Gammy aside, like, our brains just aren't meant to store that much information. And if you could imagine having thousands and thousands of years of those types of memories, of course you would lose stuff, especially if it's not stuff that you're, like, actively trying to preserve. Like, she's not writing down her memories and it almost seems like she's intentionally forgetting things, right?
But her island. That was another thing I was left, like, why are we not going back there? What is going on? Because she gave you this little snippet and she talks about how many artifacts and things are there. And then she throughout the book, she's telling you, like, I signed everything. all the messages I've written. I've signed everything I've signed. So it's just like, you're telling me in that mountain, you don't have anything of yours. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like you should have a good bit of stories just off of what is on your
island. Well, maybe she does for those, but it's not like she writes down every single thing that happens in every day. And even it if just, she did, yeah, she would have to go back like and every, read that, right? Almost to remember
everything that was brought up was like, I don't remember that. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Like, bitch, you gotta remember something.
Well, I think that had more to do with the plot of this story specifically. Like, she was tackling something in her past that it almost seems like she intentionally forgot because of the trauma with losing Val.
Which she definitely did.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's because definitely...
she talks about... She literally voices herself that she can feel it, that she's the one suppressing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's definitely some sort of, like... I don't want to say mechanic because my brain is video game coded, but, like, there's some sort of mechanic there where she's intentionally, like... losing yeah, what she doesn't
she's
want.
Like, I can
maybe
feel
they remember
it.
What they want to remember.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I can feel it, but I won't.
And that's
I won't.
Fine. Like, mm-hmm. I liked it overall. I just, in the very beginning, I was just like, well, why?
In the beginning.
God, in the beginning.
I'm so sorry.
In the beginning. In the beginning.
In the beginning.
But I did eventually, like, jump on board and I loved it. It was just, like, the very beginning where I was just introduced to this idea that I was like, wait. But by the end, I was like, okay, I'm on board. I got
Fair enough. No, I loved it. I feel like nothing in this didn't work for me, and I just want to know more.
Is there anything you guys didn't like? I feel like you haven't had one complaint.
I wanted it to be longer. Genuinely, that is my other only gripe with this, is I wanted nothing? It to be longer. Literally, because yeah, like, I wanted to know more.
I would have liked a threesome between the triangle, but...
Yes, please. Foursome, add Lauren.
Yeah. I was just about to say that.
I would have liked that, but I think this book had a good amount of spice in it. I don't think that it was like all spice, no plot, and there was like enough, but I would That's have liked, crazy. I think what I wanted was more sexual tension between her and Trace, and like,
I think I got, this is going to be crazy. This
and
is
jealousy
be a
from
crazy
Zane.
Poo
That's
statement.
What I would have liked. More
I don't
jealousy
feel
from
like
Zane.
I got spice.
You didn't get any spice?
Nope.
Not in
like
the
got
way.
Small, like a very small, like the one, like I feel like the one like actual sex scene is like half a page.
Yeah. So that's smut is the next thing on our list. So let's just dive into it. I feel like the smut in this book was not smut in the traditional sense of like a lot of the books that we've been reading lately. I'm going to sneeze.
Bless you.
Now that you said that, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. I hate okay. that.
I know. It's stuck
just
in
let
my
me get it out.
It hurts now, doesn't it?
Anyway, okay.
She did it on
Guys,
purpose.
For those of you not watching on the podcast, that wasn't Liz doing a line of coke. That was her trying to sneeze.
I would do one if
She's
she put
lying.
It on
it was
yo,
definitely
titties.
Drugs.
Off my titties, baby.
Oh, that ass.
Oh, the ass would be better for you. Titties for me.
¿Por qué no los dos?
Ass for you. Because I don't think you can get me in that position. You can try.
I got big ass nose and do one nostril in each.
I'm just a tiny girl.
I'm just a little guy. Oh my God. I'm
anyway.
So sorry. Sorry, mom. Anyway, so no. So about the smut, I'm probably cutting all of that out. So for the smut.
Oh shit. Sorry.
So I feel like the smut in this book, it's very different than what we've been, than what we're all used to when it comes to what we read usually. It wasn't smut like, I don't know how else to say this. It's not like described pornography with like flowery language to like zhuzh up what position they're in. The smut in this book felt like reading a fucking work of art to me. It was the language she chose was beautiful. And it wasn't about like, I also don't know
fucking.
How to say this nicely.
It wasn't
yeah.
about fucking.
It wasn't
it was
about titillating the audience. It was explaining the connection between these characters. Yes. Yeah.
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 Yep. It wasn't about like, okay, I'm going to get my readers horny from this. It was like, this is the next logical step in the progression of this relationship. And we've seen how much he adores her. So yeah. now he's going to worship her. Or
yes.
like something that, like that.
Yeah,
you
I
know?
Don't know. That's why realistically, I don't think there really was smut in this.
It was still smut. Like it was described sex still.
I didn't get no sexual tension.
But hold on.
She says no one punched
crazy.
Anybody in the face during sex. Yeah. It
I just,
wasn't smut.
Like, I feel like the, and it's not a bad thing. I did love it, but it, yeah. everything was emotionally driven. You know what I mean? And it makes sense because when you're immortal and you've been alive for so long, you know, your relationship is not going to be, I feel like physical intimacy is not going to be as important, especially when you're couples who can't be together that often.
Yeah.
That's so a it's fair your point. Words and the time that you, the things that you say to each other would mean more Whereas people who spend time together all the time, you know, it's more of like actions speak louder. And it was really cool to see like that opposite.
Yeah.
Because in a regular relationship, even like immortal stuff in fantasy, like Faye and all, it's like how you act is, you know, it's going to show how you, but if you can't act around each other for more than at most, they've only ever got to 4 months, then it's, yeah, everything's going to be based off of your word.
That's really interesting. I actually didn't think of it that way. I kind of love that flip. It's interesting. Yeah. I enjoyed the way that it is smut, but I don't want to call it smut. I want to call it the spice in this book. Like, yeah. I enjoyed the way the spice in this book was presented. It was different to what I'm used to, and I liked it.
Don't get into this book thinking that you're going to get, like, smutty pages. That's not the vibe, but...
I don't even know if I really, like... I don't know. I wouldn't call it a traditional reading term, because I've never read another book who did it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I liked it, though. It was definitely...
Yeah, it was,
and
like,
it was still hot.
It was so good.
Yeah. It was still fucking sexy.
Who the characters were, but yeah. It was like, I don't know if I would just say like there was a sex scene. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like seeing a painting of a beautiful naked woman and men together versus watching Pornhub.
Yeah. That's a good comparison. Yeah, for
X videos.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna name more porn sites unless you guys.
Lesbian XX. That's.
Is that an actual site?
Yes.
Oh, that's good to know. Now we're just advertising porn sites. Yeah. All righty. Let's talk about enjoyment.
I enjoyed it. We never gave our average rating for the pod.
I ain't doing that math without a calculator.
I threw my phone across the room.
It's almost completely a five.
It's almost a five.
It's almost a five.
Because I'm the only four.
I can't do quick maths. So
quick maths.
I can't do
math. 14 divided by 3.
Minus 1 is 2. Quick maths. That's a little Big Shaq for you guys, if you haven't ever heard of him. I think I misquoted him, too. I'm sorry. What were we doing?
14 divided by 3. 7.
4.7.
Wow! Yeah. This is the highest rated book
that
on the pod.
That is the highest rated book on the pod.
Highest rated book on the pod. Inez Johnson, we love you. This book was so good.
I loved it. It was fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed this book. I told you I literally like smacked my boyfriend away to finish reading it. Yeah, I just overall really enjoyed it, and I'm excited to read more.
Away, though, so it's
okay. No, he likes it. Yeah, I can't do it too much.
Okay. Two.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm excited for the other books because I still have questions, but everything I have questions about can be answered for me.
I'm excited to see which one in the series becomes our favorite book.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be interesting.
I'm excited for Lauren's books.
Yeah, me too. She's got two from her perspective.
Yeah. It'll be good.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
I think that wraps up.
We fucking did it.
Yeah.
Dragon Bones. Dragon Bones. By Anya
Dragon
Sons.
Bones. Dragon Bones.
All right, guys. We did it. Thank you for hanging in there with us. This was obviously the highest rated book so far on the pod. So if you guys haven't read it, you should definitely check it out. If it got the three of us to agree on an overall enjoyed book, like,
yeah, that never happens.
Never happens. And this is Liz's first 5-star book on the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That just deserves its own celebration in itself.
It does.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. We love you.
Done.
And remember, if you don't share this to
stop
at least
it. No. Okay.
No, wait, please. I have so much to say. If you don't share this to at least two friends. Okay.
Sorry. We're cutting the episode now.
No.
Don't make me dance to a tune that you're humming.
Alrighty, thank you guys so much for listening to our Dragon Bones Yapathon. We had so much fun diving into the immortal chaos of Nia River's world, tomb raiding Agent X's, and some seriously steamy tension. This episode was one of our juiciest yet, and we're not just talking about the romance. If you've got thoughts, and we know you do, just let us know if you're Team Trace, Team Zane, or Team Nia's wardrobe, because honestly, iconic. If this was your first ever episode with us, welcome to the chaos. We're Overbooked and Opinionated, a queer-run podcast powered by morally gray characters and strong opinions. Please take a moment to rate and review the show. It helps new listeners find us and join the best book club on the internet. Speaking of the internet, you can find us on Instagram at overbooked.opinionated. We're on TikTok at overbookedopinion, on Facebook at overbookedandopinionated, and online at our website at overbookedandopinionated.com for episodes, extras, and more. Join our book club chats on Fable 2. And to close us out, may your exes be as broody as Trace, your lovers as hot as Zane, and your memory loss only ever lead to plot twists worthy of an ancient immortal. Catch you next Thursday, book nerds.